Welcome to episode 643 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard, and this is the show that puts you in control of your favorite movies, music, shows, and games. Well, due to another weird scheduling week, it's just me this time. So wanted to get Richard here, Richard wanted to be here, but we just couldn't make it happen. So just me, and hopefully everything will go back to something resembling normal for next week's episode. We do have some listener feedback to cover tonight, and these were emailed to us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. At the end of the show, we'll share all the rest of our contact information where you can find us on social. And of course, if you're watching this on YouTube, then make sure that you click that like button and the subscribe button. And if you just want to leave us some feedback, well, you can leave comments below and we will check those out also. So with that, let's jump into the email that we got. And the first one is another one from our friend who we like to refer to as Captain Lawn Paul. He says, just one thing about audiobooks. It's not actually one thing, but he's writing in to let us know about his experience with Audible, because we talked a little bit last week about how Spotify does offer audiobooks now. And in the last episode, we talked about them offering essentially an audiobook only version of the service and how that compared to Audible. So Paul writes, Audible has tons of free content for subscribers, and it's a huge perk over Spotify. First, it has a lot of first-time author books for zero credits. So this is if an author is releasing their book for the first time ever, a lot of times those books are zero credits. And if it's no credit, then you can just listen for free. He says that also many series books offer the first book in the series for zero credits. So again, basically free. And he says that he's been hooked on a few series by this whole the first one's free methodology of marketing them. He also points out that many times if a book is popular enough to become an audio drama, where there's the full cast and music and sound effects and all of that, then the normal audiobook version also gets changed to being zero credits, so effectively free. He points out that the Murderbot series, which is a pretty popular sci-fi series, has all of its books for free now that there is a, he puts it in quotes, better version available for one credit. So that's really interesting. He says there's also Audible originals that are free. I'd kind of forgotten that Audible has commissioned their own audiobooks, and they're all apparently free for Audible subscribers. I might need to check those out, see what's available in there. If anybody has any recommendations for Audible originals, then send them our way. I'll definitely put them on my list. And then lastly, he says, but the one thing that really keeps me on Audible is the fact that many great books are exclusive to the service. I think they can tell when a new series is going to become something big, and they lock in an exclusive deal quickly. Paul, these are all great things that we missed out on with our coverage of Audible. So thank you for sharing that with us and with the rest of the listeners. Jim also wanted to chime in and second the recommendation for watching the show Resident Alien, and he was a little surprised that neither me nor Richard had ever heard of the show. He liked it and said that the dad joke characterization of the show is a good one. So he also definitely recommends that we check that show out. All right, so let's dig into the news for this week. We're going to do one video story, one audio story, and one gaming story for you. So let's start with the latest big changes to YouTube. So the YouTube player is being redesigned for television interfaces, so smart TVs and set-top streaming boxes. And this one is becoming a little bit divisive. And I think maybe the important thing to note here is The experience here doesn't change at all if all you do is grab, you know, select a video and watch it. The change here is if you are one who likes to start watching a video and then you select the title of the episode that you're watching, then you're used to seeing that be the way that you're able to view the video's description, view comments, and other information about the video. That is the experience that they're changing here with this redesign. So now, when you click on a video title, what will happen as this experience rolls out? You might not have it just yet, but it's already available on some platforms. So when you get this experience, when you click on the video title, you used to get a panel that would display all of those things that I just said, but it would obstruct about a third of the video. And they eventually realized, maybe blocking some of the video, not exactly the ideal user experience for a service that's all about watching video. So what they're doing now is instead of blocking any of the video, they shrink the video down a little and then move it all to the left side of the screen. And then they put a side panel on the right side of the screen. So you can see the entire video, it's just smaller. And on the side panel, you get things like the description of the video that you're watching. You can view comments, leave comments, interact with them. If you're watching a live video that has a live chat, then you can see the live chat on the side. If that content creator has sponsored products and things like that, then those can also pop up if you want to support your creator by buying the products that they're recommending. Those will also show up in the sidebar. And that is the aspect of this that so much of the media is focusing on. They're like, oh, of course, YouTube is just making an easier way to show ads and make it so that you can buy things. And people are comparing it to QVC. Of course, there's some similarities here, but that's not the only thing here. And maybe you actually are interested in some of those sponsored products and stuff like that. Like maybe that's why you're watching the YouTube video that you're watching, but also more useful things like comments. You know, some people do like to engage in the comment section or just being able to see all of the things that are in the description, because how often do you watch a YouTube video and they say, oh, there's a link in the description or there's something else in the description? Well, it's always been kind of a pain to see that with the previous experience. And now it'll be easier to see it. But I don't feel like I can explain enough that if you hate the sidebar experience, it's probably not one that you're going to see very often, because you have to explicitly click into the video's title to see all of this. If you're just watching video after video after video and you don't care about those other things, you're not going to see this. You will still get your video full screen without a QVC-like experience. So people need to kind of lay off on how they're describing this functionality to people as it's starting to roll out. The other thing that YouTube / Google announced, and I found this weird in the way that they announced it. They basically tacked on at the very end of their announcement, oh, if you have YouTube TV, we've also got a new feature for you called Views for when you're watching sports. And it sounds really awesome. So you can do all sorts of things. I'm not going to rattle through all of them, but say you are watching a live game and you're really interested in all of the different stats for the game that you're watching. You can make those show up while you're watching. Another really cool thing about this, if you DVR'd the game, because again, we're talking YouTube TV, so this is like the cable replacement type service here. If you DVR a game, you can use these live stat features as if you were watching it live. It will show you the stats only up through the point of the game where you're currently watching. It's not going to spoil the rest of the game for you. I think that's really smart, and it's the type of thing that often gets screwed up when trying to implement features like this in an area where you could be watching something on a delay. So cool features like being able to see stats, being able to see scores from other games in the league that you're watching. If you do fantasy football from the NFL.com site itself, you can import your fantasy team right into the experience and track your fantasy team while you're watching football. That could be really cool. Might not require you to also have your phone and a laptop or a tablet or something while you're trying to watch the game. You can just keep an eye on it while it's all on one big screen for you, which is kind of a cool feature. So I think all of this is actually pretty good. This new sidebar experience with regular YouTube, I think makes sense. And is only there if you want it to be there. And all of these extra sports features for users of YouTube TV also sound really beneficial. It might not be there for every single sport, but there's a lot of really cool features there for a lot of different sports. And so if you are a YouTube TV user who's watching a lot of sports on it, click around in the interface the next time you're watching a game and check out the other things that you can do while watching. So let's switch over to some audio news. Spotify is now integrating music videos. For some of you longtime Spotify fans, you might be thinking, they've had music videos for years. No, no, no. What you're thinking of is the little like few second video snippet that will play while watching some videos, but it's like a 10 second loop. It's practically an animated GIF of an artist while you're listening to things. What we're talking about here is actual, real, official music videos from your favorite artist right inside of the Spotify app. And it works similarly to some of their competitors like YouTube Music. If you're listening to a track and they have a music video for it, on the now playing screen, you'll see a button that says switch to video. You do that, all of a sudden, you're watching the music video. Are you sick of watching the video? You can click back to just listening to the audio again. The downside of the way that this feature has been implemented so far, and I really want to key in on that because this is still a beta feature. It's not available everywhere. We'll get into where it's available in a moment. But the beta implementation, if you are halfway through the song and you click the switch to video button, it will start the music video at the beginning of the video. Maybe you want that. I probably want that. But YouTube Music, for example, if you click the button to switch to the music video, it picks up right where you were in the song, which is also a really cool feature. And frankly, I think that's probably the better way to implement this because if I want to restart it, it's not hard to restart it. You know, it's one button to go back to the beginning of the song. But I might want to just watch from where I am in the song without having to start the whole thing over. Either way, not really that big of a deal, but it is kind of a nice quality of life feature that Spotify has not implemented yet with this functionality in the new app. So again, we're saying it's beta, which means there are some limitations. The first limitation is in the catalog size. It is very small. It is just a handful of artists. Ed Sheeran was on the list. He's probably one of the most famous ones on the list, but there's a few others too. If you click the link in the description, you can check out the article over on The Verge to get all of the rest of the details. So very limited catalog while it's in beta, but they do say it'll be thousands and thousands of music videos once this feature officially rolls out. The other big limitation is if you're listening to me tell you about this, it's probably not available to you because most of our listeners here are in the United States, and that's not one of the areas where this service is available just yet. Right now, the beta is available in the UK, Germany, Italy, the Netherlands, Poland, Sweden, Brazil, Colombia, Philippines, Indonesia, and Kenya. And I have to assume that the biggest reasons for those two limitations, the limitations being the catalog size and the locations where this is available, all come down to one thing: licensing deals. Licensing music and music videos is complicated. They vary by country, And I think that's one of the biggest reasons why it is only available in those particular areas. The other thing that you're going to need to be able to do this is a Spotify premium subscription. If you are a free user of Spotify, you don't get this feature. Makes sense. This does seem like the right type of feature to put behind the premium subscription. I think having access to those music videos, it probably, frankly, does cost Spotify more money to pay the licensing fees on all of those. So I can see the argument for keeping this as a premium subscriber benefit, in addition to, of course, not getting any advertisements. That's the main feature of being a premium subscriber, in addition to 15 hours of audiobook listening per month. Where you're not really limited is where you can view these music videos. This is available on Android and iOS and desktop and TV experiences. That's pretty much all of the places where you could watch a video, a music video, on Spotify, right? Like, they don't support smart speakers. Well, smart speakers don't typically have a screen. So I think this makes a ton of sense. I'm curious to see if this rolls out effectively worldwide and if they're able to make the library significantly larger. Because I do think it's a cool feature. It is one of the things that I feel like I'm missing out on by being a Spotify subscriber. But it's obviously not the biggest thing in the world to me. I'm not someone who's like, yeah, I don't need Spotify or something like that. I listen to all of my music on YouTube. I don't need to be that distracted by music videos when I'm listening to music most of the time. But occasionally, it's nice to see a music video. And fortunately, soon you'll be able to do that on Spotify, depending on where you live. And now time for our single gaming story for this week. And this one is from Sony. And it's kind of a bad news story. And I know I oftentimes take a little bit of joy in poking fun at Sony's misery because I am an Xbox fanboy, but I'm not excited about this one. We've talked recently about PlayStation VR 2 and how maybe it's not really doing the greatest. We talked on a recent episode about how they are working on adding support to use a PSVR 2 headset on PC. And at the time, I wondered, is this because it's not actually doing super well on the PlayStation 5 platform? And they're just trying to give people who purchased this $550 headset another place to use it? Well, reporting out of Bloomberg this week says that Sony has actually paused production of PSVR 2 headsets. They, in the article, they say that IDC projects that Sony has produced about 2 million units so far since it launched in early 2023, but that they've only sold about 1.7 million headsets. And that's after a year on the market. And you might think, okay, well, maybe it's slowed down. But they must have done great in the fourth quarter, right? That's when electronics do really well. Everybody buys them for the holiday shopping season. But actually, the fourth quarter calendar year of 2023 was actually the worst quarter for Sony PSVR 2 headsets. They only sold about 325,000 of those 1.7 million. It was the worst quarter. That is a really, really bad sign for this device. So why might it be doing so poorly? Well, we already talked about one, the price. Just to get the headset and the associated hardware with it, it is $550. Then you have to buy a PlayStation 5, which is also $500. Yeah, it's actually less than the cost of the virtual reality equipment. So you're looking at over $1,000 to play VR games on your PlayStation. Maybe that's okay if there's a huge library, but there isn't. There are a lot of games that have been ported to it, but actual first-party games released by Sony in the year that it's been out? Four. Only four. And you know how many they've announced as coming soon or coming at all? Zero. No announcements of any games coming out for this platform. The other kicker, Sony recently laid off a whole lot of people in their PlayStation division, and that even included shutting down a studio in London, which was already one of the few studios making VR games. So none of this looks good for PlayStation VR 2 or PlayStation VR as a whole. And again, I'm not excited about this news. I've never been one to say that, you know, virtual reality is the future. Everything gaming will be VR in the future. I don't think that's the case. There's so many other use cases for gaming that are really good. They're just different than VR. But I do think virtual reality is a really cool way of experiencing games and other experiences, for lack of a better word. But so to see what's been put out there is like an easy way to get into the world of VR and a somewhat cheaper way of getting into the world of VR. To see that do poorly doesn't say good things about the future of virtual reality becoming more mainstream. Now, fortunately, VR doesn't have all of its eggs in the PlayStation VR 2 basket, right? The thing that's maybe eating PlayStation's lunch here is the Meta Quest 3 headset. It is a standalone virtual reality headset for $500. And it plays a lot of the same games that are being ported to the PlayStation VR 2 right now. It doesn't play everything, and it obviously doesn't play any of those PlayStation exclusives. And maybe it doesn't play all of them at the same fidelity as you could on PlayStation VR 2, because it doesn't have as powerful of hardware as a full PlayStation 5 running it, right? So that makes sense. But it's easier. You only need to buy the headset. And there aren't even wires and all of that stuff that you need to use the Meta Quest 3. And if you're thinking, well, but the PlayStation VR headset 2, it's going to have PC support, so I would be able to do that. Well, you can already use a Meta Quest 3 with a PC. So I have to think that part of the reason that the VR 2 from Sony is not doing so well is Meta Quest 3 came out in the fourth quarter when these PSVR 2 headset sales plummeted. Meta Quest 3 did pretty well in the fourth quarter. But lastly, the other bummer with this thing, and this has always been Sony's problem, they just don't take backward compatibility seriously. PlayStation 4 had VR, and it was pretty good. It wasn't perfect. Like, it had its downsides, including a million wires, but none of those games that worked on PlayStation 4 VR are backward compatible in a way that would work with the PlayStation 5 and the PSVR 2. Why? Like, that seems like something that could have been fairly easy for Sony to do, and they didn't. So when you buy into this ecosystem, you just have a really small library of killer games that you could be checking out because they didn't include any of the previous catalog. So I think this is a total bummer of a story. I hope that Sony finds a way to turn this around. I want to see VR succeed. I want to see VR as a more mainstream way of gaming. I would love to have VR on Xbox. I would love to play Forza Motorsport with a VR headset on my Xbox. And there's no way of doing that. And I don't see Microsoft doing that. Like, there's a possibility. They said last month, or maybe that was the end of January, that they've got big hardware announcements coming later this year. Maybe it'll be VR, but I doubt it. And if they're paying attention to what's going on at Sony, I think they would strongly be reconsidering whether they wanted to make a dive into the VR ecosystem. So a lot of this is speculation, which we don't often report about here, but it's Bloomberg. It's not some fly-by-night operation here. I think there's a lot of credibility to what's being said. And all of that corroborating evidence sure seems like it's pointing in the same direction, and it's unfortunate. I want to see better for the VR gaming space. Okay, so let's get into what's going on in our entertainment centers. Well, my entertainment center, since Richard's not here. It's not ours. So on the gaming side, so you noticed that we didn't have a show last week. It's because I was traveling, and that definitely makes it harder for me to game. I don't typically bring my Xbox with me on business travel, and I didn't this time. So a little bit of gaming before and after my last trip. On the multiplayer side, which was really all of it, my friends and I went back to playing some more Pal World, and we're getting together again this weekend and might be playing more Pal World. I am mostly excited about that, but I also think that I can also recognize that it does feel like my group of friends is kind of just defaulting to this because there isn't any other really great new game for us to be checking out, and we can have fun and chat while we play Pal World. So you'll probably hear more about that next week. And then, of course, I've also played a little bit of NHL. On the TV side, just The Expanse. I'm getting near the end. I finished season 5. I've now gotten a couple of episodes into season 6. And I think there's only 6 episodes in season 6. And then I'm done. I've really enjoyed this. If you like sci-fi, especially sci-fi with a little bit more of a political edge to, like, you know, sci-fi drama. It's not just action scenes and stuff like that, although there's plenty of it. There's some really good storytelling going on in The Expanse, and it's all available on Amazon Prime. So go and check that out. And then on the movie side, I guess we'll start with the actual normal movies. We decided to check out Damsel. It's a new movie on Netflix. It's a Netflix exclusive starring Millie Bobby Brown, the actress who plays Eleven on Stranger Things. It is a fantasy movie where she is a princess in a kingdom who is kind of forced to be married to another kingdom's prince. And then some real crazy stuff happens and she has to find a way out of it. I don't want to say anything else. Because I don't want to give away any spoilers. I thought this movie was good, but not great. You know, like maybe I'd call this a 6.5 or a 7. Millie Bobby Brown is fantastic in it. You know, the acting is never in doubt. There is a character who is voiced by one of the main characters for one of the main actresses from The Expanse, which I thought was kind of fun. If you watch it, you'll know who. That was cool. But the story is just, it's fine. It's fine. It's well done, but it's just fine. So maybe you want to check that out if you're into fantasy action movies. Not one to watch with the little ones, though. It does get a little bit graphic in some of the violence / action scenes. So not one to watch with the little ones. The other normal movie that we watched was Dune Part 1. I think they're calling them just Part 1 and Part 2. Watch that at home on Max with ads. Ads in movies, like, no one actually likes that. It's not a fun experience. It wasn't the worst thing ever. They, you know, it wasn't a bajillion ads, but it's still ads. So, but the movie itself, we liked it a lot. A lot of people told me this is a very complicated story. It is going to be very hard for you to follow. And I was really tired from a really long run that day. And I thought, I'm going to struggle to stay awake. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep this story straight. I didn't actually think the story was that complicated. So I was able to keep up with what was going on. We had kind of hoped to maybe make it a Dune-filled weekend, watch the first one at home on Saturday, go to the theaters and see the second one on Sunday. Our schedules didn't really permit that. So we haven't seen Part 2 yet. But man, everybody just keeps telling me it's really good. So I would like to go and see that in the theaters soon on the biggest screen imaginable. All right, the last movie-ish that we watched over this last week is Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour on Disney Plus. We were fortunate enough to be able to see one of these concerts in person last summer. Really, really, really enjoyed the experience. It was great. But we did not have super close seats. Those were very expensive. So getting to rewatch this experience and to see it from much closer up and to see it from a lot of different camera angles, it's really good. If you saw the Eras Tour in person, watch this. If you didn't get to see it in person, watch this. If you're even just kind of a Taylor Swift fan, watch this. It was an incredible concert experience. And one that I don't think we're going to see many, many concerts that really live up to what the Eras Tour actually has been. If you're planning to go see an Eras Tour show, maybe watch this. I don't know. I guess it depends on if you're a spoilery type, because they are all basically the same show. Man, it's good. Like, it's 3 hours, and this will be on a lot in my house, I think. It's just really good. If you like Taylor Swift music at all, there's no reason not to go and check this out, especially if you already have Disney Plus. And if you don't, a month of a Disney Plus subscription costs less than paying the rental fee for this. So, and you can watch it as many times as you want that month. So there you go. Check that out for sure. All right, lastly, books. I told you I had been reading the second book in the ACOTAR series from Sarah J. Maas. The second one is called A Court of Mist and Fury. You might remember the first book, A Court of Thorns and Roses. That doesn't sound right, but yeah, I think it is. I didn't love it. I didn't think it was the greatest story ever, but largely because it is my wife's favorite book series, I decided to give the second book a chance because she said it is really good. That's where the series really kicks off. I'm glad I read it. It was significantly better, in my opinion, than the first book. I might be saying that it's significant, like at a higher level of betterness than the first book than Jen would, but I liked it enough to continue reading the series. So I'm not going to jump into book three right away. I've got some other things that I want to read too, but it was a lot better. The entire storyline, it's just a better storyline now. And even the main character in the book, it's not actually breaking the fourth wall, but in a way, one of the main plot lines of the book is really the character going, huh, all those things that I did in the first book, kind of dumb. All those things that other character did in the first book, kind of crappy. You know, things that all of us readers, as we were reading the first book, were going, yeah, this is stupid, don't do that. Or, yeah, this is a really dumb plot. Or, yeah, that guy's actually kind of a jerk. She's figuring it out in the second book. it does make it a whole lot better. And just the plot overall gets a lot bigger, a lot more interesting. So I enjoyed A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas and will continue to read the A Court of Thorns and Roses series into the future. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in my entertainment center. If you want to get a hold of us, there are a lot of ways you can do that. We're on social media. I'm at Josh Pollard. The website is at DigiMediaZone on Twitter. I did find out because one of you tried DMing me, and apparently either I missed the notification or I don't understand the way DM requests work in Twitter. It went a couple of weeks without me noticing, and I really didn't notice until that listener emailed me to say, hey, why are you ignoring me on Twitter? It was an accident, I promise. So Twitter works, but if I don't respond, Richard and I are also both on Mastodon, at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, or just our email address is entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. Real soon, we're going to get back to doing this show live. Again, probably still going to be on Wednesday nights for another 6 weeks or so because of my schedule. But when we do that, those shows will be around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. And lastly, again, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, please. We really appreciate that. And you can like the video there and you can leave comments there as well. But that's going to do it for episode 643. I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0 Adios.